Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're also going to be talking about love, got love. And that's so important because we're told by Jesus that the love of most will grow cold. Mm. And we had a past generation that people were disgruntled with and they complained about because they said they never told me that they loved me. But they...
What they said,
they said, what I've done in my life shows you that I loved you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how I provided for you and I stayed faithful and these different things. And so now it's totally twisted to this generation is they just say they love you.
Mm.
They just say they love you. And because that's what that was the tuning fork for their hearts, what they think love is,
mm-hmm.
they're okay with just hearing the words, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
While the action is,
mm.
you don't love nobody but yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we're going to talk about that because he says, not only will the love of most grow cold, but one of the signs of the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, mm. lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so, and God is love. And without love, no matter what you do, it's useless. And if you don't know love and you can't love, you don't know God because he is love. And so we're going to talk about, you know, what is love? We need to think about what it is again. Because you can look people square in the face and say, you know, I love you, but I know you don't love me. But I hope one day you will. That mm. freaks them out because they want to project to you and say, no, I do love you. Well, mm. no, actually, you say you love me.
Yeah.
But if you love me, you would not treat me that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is like, we need to get that because if not, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, you know, I loved. And he's going, no. You said you loved, but you didn't love.
Mm-hmm.
And love is it's an action.
Right.
You know, it's a kinetic thing that happens. And you cannot treat people with hate and say you love them and think that's like a trump card that solves all the venomous fire that Satan set your life on fire with, that you burned everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, since it's lovers of self, the reason why somebody would use that trump card is because they can get something from you.
Sure.
You know, and, oh, I just love President, Congress, Senator, so-and-so. What it was like, what kind of package are they giving you? You know, you don't know them. And so the same thing with ministry and that type of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, how amazing when you hear somebody say, I love someone just because I love them.
Mm.
And there's nothing passing back and forth other than the love and the compassion they have for each other.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Genuine.
Mm. And the thing is, that's love. And right. so we're going to talk about that. The question is, you know, you heard the commercial, got milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got love.
Mm.
It's going to count. It's going to count in the end because we're going to stand before love himself and he's going to say one simple thing. Did you love? Did you love? Oh, Lord, we did this in your name, and that we did. We cast out demons, and mm-hmm. we had the Sons of Sceva ministry going on, and mm-hmm. we had, you know, big choirs, and we wrote music, and we just did all kinds of things for you, and it's like, but did you love? Did you love? And it's like, well, and he goes, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hardest thing you're going to have to do as time progresses is to keep your love.
Mm-hmm.
To watch over your love, to watch over how you're feeling, and it's your heart. And I have another segment coming up soon on VFN Radio called Despising Hearts, because there's so many despising hearts, and they're speaking things like Mikkel, David's wife, did constantly in their heart towards others, and they don't realize that, you know, you are infertile, you know, you're unfruitful.
Mm.
Because you won't deal with the despising heart. And if you despise in your heart, when you stand before the throne of God, you're going to have to answer for that because that's an unloving heart. And immediately she was cut off because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters what's going on in your heart. Because
right.
Jesus says from your mouth, you know, the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so we're going to be talking about that because, first of all, don't think that God doesn't give folks the ability to hear what's on your heart.
Hmm.
Jesus would always say, knowing what's on their heart, he said,
right,
knowing
right.
what's on their heart, he said. And it's amazing how many folks, it's like, I know what you just said. Do you really know what's on your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really know what's on your heart? Well, you know, let's just talk about this. Talk about what? What? What?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it'd be a shame for you not to learn that until you got to the throne room of God, because it's too late at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some wild things being taught behind pulpits today. I mean, it's cranking up a notch to the point of that there basically is no sin, and that
that's right.
There is, although the old covenant was under the law, you know, this new covenant, it's a more difficult law today. It's the law written on your heart.
That's right.
And Jesus says, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And crucifying Christ all over again. And if you say you love God, but you don't love your life, I mean, all these things are totally different, deeper. Mm-hmm. It's an intimate relationship with God that requires total surrender from us. And he empowers us by what's on the cross to be able to walk this walk. But it's you got to pay attention, because even the very elect could be deceived. You know, what is love? You know, some people just say it. They just say love. I love you. You know, I love you. And it's like, if this is love, I don't know if I want to be loved anymore. You know what I'm saying? If this is love, you know. And but yet, at the same time, God says, you know, consider hardship as love. I'm treating you as a son. You know, what father does not discipline his son? So you have the balance of those things, understanding the kindness and the sternness of a loving relationship. But I think about, you know, many people in the world, famous people, or people always talk about loneliness and being afraid. And it was said by an actress, Anne Hathaway. She was winner of Academy Awards and Best Supporting Actress, supposedly, in 2012 in a role called La Miserable. She said this. She confessed, "Loneliness is my least favorite thing about life. The thing that I'm most worried about is just being alone without anybody to care for or someone to care for me." I mean, you think about that. I know T.D. Jakes said, he says, "Dear God," he says, "Dear God, if I got to be alone, if I've got to be alone, lonely. Please, lonely. If I got to be lonely,"
yeah.
T.D. Jakes says, "you know, if I've got to be lonely, please let me be alone."
Yeah.
Because right. There's nothing lonelier than to be in a crowd and to be lonely. This is the most disconnected modern world that's ever been, you know, all the way from people living in from the impersonal type cities and the suburbs, and the internet is increasingly replacing face-to-face interaction. The average job lasts 2 years, they say, and people move from state to state and marriage to marriage. No, way back in 2009, the average adult cell phone usage was exchanged about 400 texts a day, and in 2009 that the teenager exchanged 2,272 texts a day.
Wow.
There's even a new phobia out now. It's called a nomophobia, which is the fear of being without your phone. Nomophobia, which is a marketer's dream who actually sells phones, right? So a new little abbreviation is going to come up. Do you have nomophobia?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where? So it used to be, do you know where your children are? It's like, do you know where your phone is at? No, I don't. Where is my phone at? Just ask Snowden. He knows where it's at. Technology is keeping us connected, but at a serious cost of intimacy. It's amazing how many people just kind of like, yeah, I was just talking to so and so. It's like, oh, well, how are they doing? Well, I don't know. They just sent me a text. It's like, oh, paradigm shift.
Yeah.
The perceived relationship
right.
In the context of that versus having a relationship and you text. It's a different aspect of that. But there's something in the context of that. I got 4,000 friends. Oh, my goodness. Name them. Who are they? Wow, you are amazing. Well, I can't. Let me go to my Facebook and see. Okay. I got Angela, go over the A's and the B's, all the way to Zeus. Okay, and one of the first things God says about his creation, about human beings when he created us, that it's not good for men to be alone. So God created a counterpart for men. But in the sinful world, a plan against intimacy is just constantly working so much to the point where Jesus said, that in the last days, one of the signs of the last days, the love of most will grow cold.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to put a guard over your heart, a guard over love. And God is love. So putting a guard over love is not a negative thing. You don't just think that's... But then you got to find out what it is. Because, you know, God, Jesus is not your boyfriend.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of people, when they're singing these love songs to Jesus, it's like, if 97% are not really reading God's word in the context of what he's really saying, and at least 81% are not even picking up their Bible, you're singing a love song about features of a God you never read about. And you're putting him in a category he's not. I mean, he's God. Mm-hmm. He's God. He's worthy. I mean, just jump right into the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Just jump in there and find out who he is. And sorry to say, he's not your husband either. Mm. You know, he's God. He's more than your husband. He's more than your wife. He's more than your all these different things. He's everything. But loneliness and disconnectedness is another manifestation of how much sin is marred the world and what's going on. So we have to keep a watch over it. And so you got to think about, you know, what is love? Because people have bought in today, as long as somebody tells me they love me, then everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like the last generation was criticized for showing their offspring they loved them, but not telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Now this generation satisfied with being told that they're loved, with nobody showing them.
Mm.
And if you look back at what God says, is that you don't actually tell somebody you love them. You show somebody you love. God says, if you love me,
that's right.
You show me you love me.
Demonstrate this love.
Yeah, he says that, you know, you say with your lips you love me, but your heart is far from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, you know, what's up with this? And so so we need to find, let's just delve into today in the limited amount of time we have in this first part on Christian Television Network, and we'll continue on into the rest of the program. You can catch the whole program at vfntv.com or download the app. You know, what is love? Because Jesus said that the love of most will grow cold. And not only that, that it would be, the reason why it would be because there's great lawlessness. The sin will increase. And then he says, it'll be the same as the days of Noah, which means, okay, it's just going to get worse. Because days of Noah, the only love that was out there was the love for self. That's all that was there.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on their minds, there was just eight.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably seven of those made it in because of Noah.
Yeah, they're related.
Yeah, related. And so it does matter how the head of the household is walking around, by the way.
That's all right.
Ask Noah's family.
Exactly.
They kind of went whack after they came out. Anyway, so and with that, we're not going to get into the Moabites. But you know, what is love? It's not what this generation is saying it is. It's not enough to say you love someone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ever get all these dating networks and, you know, find love tonight. Find the love of your life. Call 1-800. Expose everything about yourself so the whole world and predators and all can find out who you are, and possibly you'll find love. We'll match you tonight. We will match you. I mean, so we have ministers who are going and shopping for wives with this mechanism.
They sure have.
They, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, who you got? Who that is? You know what I'm saying? He says not only does he says listen, no, he says you should not be unequally yoked, first of all.
Right.
And if you're like searching for yokemates.org or .com on the internet, I mean, how are you really going to know them?
Mm-hmm.
He says don't be unequally yoked. But then he says, you know, don't be how can two walk together unless they agree? I mean, then he says, in ministry, you should know who those you minister along with. It's like, you don't know somebody who you're talking with over the internet in the context of you're going to commit your
life,
you know, a contract before the throne room of God with. Believe me, I mean, in the context. We're going to have to finish this up. I tell you what, you are something. We're going to be talking about on the other side, and you can catch us, about what is love. And we're going to be talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he talks about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's so important. It's tangible things that we can do to walk out our love for God. And we got to do this because he says, listen, if we don't love each other, then we don't love God. Based on these statistics, it was 2,400 a day at that particular time for teenagers that are texting. And that's basically the form of communication that takes place today, is short little, not even whole words. They say when people are applying for jobs, they don't even write out their...
Don't know how to spell.
They don't know how to spell. They just kind of just, you know, spell it out in the kind of text type format in the context of that. But the... pulling up some stuff here in front of me. So what is love? Let's find out what it is, because, you know, we're going to be held accountable for not doing it. And if we love, then that tells who we are,
mm-hmm.
who we are. And you'd be really surprised, because a lot of people think, you know, love is doing something for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you can do something for Jesus out of yourself versus doing it because mm-hmm. you love Jesus and love others. And it can look the same on the outside, but the differentiation is when you stand before the throne of God, and to one he says, you're a goat, and to the other one he says, you're a sheep.
Mm.
To one he says, well done. The other one says, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not about, you know, and if you haven't yet heard hoodoo, there's a lot of hoodoo going on today. And there's always been a lot of hoodoo going on, but there seems to be just a bigger pile of who and a bigger pile of do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, where is the love,
mm-hmm.
you know? In the context of that. And love is not just this ushy-gushy verbal thing. Love is an action. You know, love is Dr. Martin Luther King walking down the streets of Selma, arm in arm, and saying, this oppression is not right. It's not constitutional.
That's
it's not legal. And we got to stand up for Rosa Parks and the sanitation workers while we're walking under the leadership of Jesus Christ, not outside the will of God or the will of our founding fathers of this nation. That's love. And so, you know, one form of love. And so what does God's word say love is? And you think about it, that Paul was having to write this to the church of Corinth at the time because, you know, they're like, I need to explain to them what love mm-hmm. is, because there was a lot of hoodoo obviously going on there, which means people are thinking they are what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do? This is what I do. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what you do? Oh, that's what you do. They don't ever ask you how you're doing. It's just
right.
what you're doing. And whoever mm-hmm. has the biggest pile of doing is the one that gets the biggest kudos, right?
Right.
Because he had the biggest pile to do.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that big edifice made of doing. Okay. And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, now let me show you the most excellent way. And this is important, because remember, God is love. The love of most will grow cold because of great sin in the last days. It'll be like the days of Noah. So we got to find out what the most excellent way is. And then he begins to break it down. He says, listen, if you speak in tongues of men and of angels, and this is so important because this totally dumbfounded me in regards to the charismatic part of the body of Christ, you know, and being spirit-filled, is how somebody can speak in tongues under the power of the Holy Spirit and then kill you the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
Prophesy under the power of the Holy Spirit and then just you know, eat roasted pastor for dinner over in front of the kids.
Mm.
Speak openly against a brother or sister in front of the kids, in front of their spouse. And it's like, how could this ought not to be so? And he says, well, this is what's happening right here. He says, if you speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, he says, but if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, and he says, I speak in tongues more than others.
Right.
But he says, I want you to speak when you're with folks and language they can understand. Like, don't do that. Read my lips. Don't do that. So he said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I mean, imagine that. Gong. I wish we had some sound effects right now. Which means this, that if all of a sudden you have this encounter, this spiritual encounter, and you adequately and appropriately manifest by the power of the Holy Spirit an angelic language that only heaven knows and understands, and that's a powerful thing. But when you walk out of that and you don't have love, it was worthless, which means everything you build in the flesh, everything you build out of self, you might as well just let it go. Just let it go, because it'll be a stumbling block to you, because mm-hmm. it's useless unless you rededicate it. And say, God, I want this to be a love letter back to you. I want this to be used for your love. I mean, our whole driving force has always been loving God, loving others, and leading other people to do the same. What's the same? Loving God and loving others is it.
Right.
There's that. Everything's tied to that. Everything. And then he goes on and says this. He says, and if, this is Paul, and he wrote half of the New Testament. We already heard about, you know, how God began to organize Paul and switched him from the organizer of the darkness to under the organizer of the day. And he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains. And you have, I mean, you hear some orators, man, they just crank it out, and they have this deep mystery that they're breaking loose, and they're connecting, you know, precepts and contacts, and they're downloading things, and it's just powerful, and they're not literally, maybe they are, but I haven't, but they're literally walking on things that other people could never walk on. Their faith is so strong in the context of this. It's faith. They have faith in faith now, as Dr. Rubin said when he was speaking to a crew that was going through this particular challenge. And he says, and if I have gifts of prophecy, and prophecy is, in this you can understand Revelation chapter 2 a bit better, because that a person who calls themselves a prophet says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and the knowledge, and if I have all the faith that can move a mountain, but have not love, I have nothing. I have nothing. And that means nothing. And I have nothing. Think about that. The first thing he says that, but he has not love. I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. The second thing he says, despite all that, he says, I have nothing. And then he says in verse 3, he says, and if I give all my possessions to the poor and suffered my body to the flames. In other words, I just throw my body. In other words, you have Nebuchadnezzar is building a furnace right there, and you just run and jump in the fire. It's like, you know, hold on a minute. If you stand up for God, they'll throw you in. You don't need to be a masochistic person here. Wow. Just stand up for God. Maybe God doesn't want you to go in, but you go and throw your body in there, hating everybody on the journey, thinking that you're more righteous than anybody else. If I give all my possessions to the poor, well, I don't care how much stuff you're giving to poor folks and the orphan and the needy. This is important. And you surrender, no, you let your body go through suffering, painful suffering, but have not love, he says, I gain nothing. Mm. Which means if you do it in love, you gain something.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty important. But before I go to the next part, it makes me think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He tells us very specifically about these particular folks. And it is a possibility that you can preach a kingdom that you yourself will not enter into.
Mm.
Don't listen to folks. I remember when a vision that that Rick Joyner had was very good. I mean, you know, I can't tell you. I mean, you have to talk to him about it. But it so makes sense because he's talking to Paul. And Paul says, I wish people quit focusing on my writing so much and focus on the gospel. So right. Don't skip over what Jesus said here.
Right.
And this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. He says, not everyone, and he's just talking about false folks who do in ministry. Matter of fact, he says it right here. He says, verse 15, Matthew 7, 15, he says, watch out for false. That's everything. False prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And he begins to talk about them. He says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you'll know them by the fruit. You'll recognize them by the fruit. And this is when he goes right in talking about the same thing. Paul didn't just create this. He's talking about the context of what Jesus is saying right here. He says, listen, Jesus is saying this now in verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Which shows all these folks that are saying, you don't have to do anything. It's like, no, you have to do everything the Lord tells you to do. But you do it by the empowerment of what God is telling you to do. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is what he says too. He says, many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's say that again and see what Paul said. He says, let me show you the most excellent way. In verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1, he says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I gain nothing. And if I give all my possessions to the poor and even throw my body into the flames of a fire, but have not love, I gain nothing. So the question then is, what is love?
Mm.
We need to don't just skip over it, because it's obviously it's not telling somebody you love them. Because obviously these folks were probably using the word, "Hey, I love you. Look at the demon that just came out you." You know, look what's going on here. You know, you got a miracle. You know, and it's like they were preaching the kingdom that they themselves were not going to enter into. That's when you read the book or watch the movie Left Behind, that minister standing there behind that pulpit, and they believed the message that he wasn't believing, and he was there, most of his church was gone with a few folks that probably had coffee with him on Thursdays.
Wow.
That bought into his conversation, and they went and got left behind.
He got left.
We're all the same. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. If you look at organizational charts, God's organizational chart is a pancake. It's a flat chart. We answer to God for our life. We have different responsibilities, but you will stand alone. No witnesses, no suspects. That's why it's important for you to listen to what we're talking about. So what is love? And then he goes on to say it. Isn't that refreshing?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the love of most will grow cold. He says, because of great lawlessness. So we have to keep a watch over love. So what is the checklist? What are the things I need to do? And we all need work in this area. I am trying to live up to Pat's standards, but it's real difficult. But right. Oh, you found it. Oh my goodness. Inappropriate usage. Anyway,
that was
the gong. That the
deflect.
Deflect. That was a gong. Hey, you did find it. You find a tingling symbol? Anyway. So love is patient. Love is patient. See how patient I am with that wrong sound effect at the wrong time. Patience is this. Patience is enduring long suffering. Long suffering. Delays, discomfort. It's working with folks that just struggle with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like somebody say, I just want to give up. I want to give up on so and so. And it's like, but love is patient, right?
Very.
I mean, if love wasn't patient, I wouldn't be here.
I know that's right.
I know that's right. Right.
So think about it. So if patience will grow cold, that's what he's saying. So patience will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are not patient are the ones who are going to, Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Because where there's impatience, there's pride.
Mm-hmm.
How important is love? Is it more than just telling someone we love them? We're finding out it is so important that if we don't have it, we don't even know it. Because God is love.
That's right.
And you can do a lot of religious things. You can preach a kingdom that other people believe and enter into and begin to love. And they go into the kingdom of God and become a sheep, if you would, in the context of that, while you're standing across in the judgment seat and the goat crew.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh my goodness, how did that happen?
What happened here?
What happened? So then the big question is, what is love? And the first thing we're finding out here, it has a list of it, and it lines up exactly what the gospel said with Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 7 there. So love is patient. So if the love of the body grows cold, and one of the signs of the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, which means, by the way, that's not somebody that's saved. That's somebody who's walking in darkness, that's decided to follow the kingdom of darkness. Then we have to watch our love. And so then if somebody's being impatient with you, or they're being impatient with God in the context of themselves and what they're wanting in life, what they're saying is they're their own God.
Mm-hmm.
They're their own, you know, it's about them. And so if somebody says they love you, but they're not patient with you, then that's a verbal, you know, it may be some sort of generational, you know, thing, but it's still not love, because love is patient. And love is kind. Love doesn't bite someone's head off. Love is not, and it's amazing the spirit across the land. It's like in the church, you're watching spouses just talk to each other just ruthlessly, and kids talk to their parents so ruthlessly. And it's like, you know, we are, if we're love, then we were thinking about the context of that. And I watch the a spouse in the public totally unlove their husband, unlove their wife, where they speak publicly to them in front of the world. And it's like, if you're a Christian, if you say you're a Christian, you just said, I don't love this person.
Right.
You just said, you don't love this person. And it's like, so we have to be kind. Love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's patient. In other words, You know, you may have your plan, you know, that you have planned out, but your plan does not trump love. And so you have to always submit your plan to love. And so, which means inconveniences, things happen. And you got to be able to flow with those things that's going on. Love is kind. It does not envy. And I mean, there's a whole culture of envy. There's a whole culture
huge.
Of envy. I mean, it's just a huge culture.
Huge.
Even to the point that there's Christians who profess to be Christians that name their business envy. It's like say, yes, I name my business adultery. Would you like to come here and buy some of my product? Like, what are you selling?
Yeah.
Are you selling adultery?
Wow.
But the very business name is envy. Christians. And it's like we've gone so far away from the word of God.
That's wild.
In the ways of God, because love does not envy. So if I walk in, I mean, what, imagine that your business is called Impatience. You know, I need to swing by quick. I go to Impatience, yeah. You know. You know, I got to go to Unkind. You know, I got to go to the Unloving. And it's like envy. You know, it's just simple. It's like we're promoting
sin.
The dark side.
Yeah.
We're promoting the end time self-love, lovers of self, love of the body growing cold, but we're promoting envy. And envy has to do with idolatry and what we want. And it's just the most, I mean, it's amazing, the big long lines of envy to get the next electronic device that's going on. And it's just this envy. Oh, they got a 2.0 and only have a 1.0. And it's just crazy. But it's based on a culture of envy. So love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't say it has some envy. It doesn't envy. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I learned to be content. No matter where I have or don't have, I know that God has allowed me to have this, and so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And look at this. And love, it does not boast. It doesn't boast. I mean, think about that. It just doesn't boast. Look at my job. Look at my stuff. Look at my things.
You know,
I look at me. I want this magazine to come take pictures of my house, or I want people to see me in my car. Mm-hmm. I want people to see me in my stuff and my, you know, and you wearing things for intentional drawing attention to yourself,
right?
So that it's boasting. I mean, boasting can happen without a word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would anybody want to bring, you know, cameras into their home to show the whole world, you know, on Discovery Channel? You know, it's like. It's all because it's like a boasting type thing of what's going on, and or, you know, boasting over the building that, you know, you choose to gather in as the church.
Right.
You know.
Does that happen?
Yeah. It's like it just. Yeah.
Oh.
And it's a love doesn't boast.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't boast, then no matter where you gather, whatever it's in, then you see everybody the same. You have no different feelings
That's
in your
right.
heart about somebody who meets. And a less gathered, orchestrated, color-coded, fuchsia red, I don't know, building than your color-matching airport tags, left-wing
Hello.
Type. It's not left-wing politically, but just...
Left-wing.
Yeah. And it doesn't boast. It just doesn't
That's right.
boast. And it's like, oh, we got a long ways to go. I mean, at the church right today, it's like, how can America make this turn? Well, love is how we're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's not proud. It's not proud. Love is not proud. It's not. It's not. There's no pride in love.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And so it's all about I. And so many people are loving other folks the way they want to be loved. What they're doing is they're loving themselves and hoping you're going to return. You're going to love them back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to talk what I would call the terminology of that. But it's like, hey, you don't even need me in that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need me in that. And so in the context of it, it's like, you know what? This has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with God, love himself.
Mm-hmm.
So love is not proud. I mean, when we understand these things, we can all get, the church can get along, and we can get along with other folks who are not even walking with God as long as they're not trying to destroy God's people. And then he says this, he says, because we want to know what love is, because it's in the last days that love of most will grow cold. What does that mean? Patience will grow cold. Kindness will grow cold. Envy will increase. Boasting will increase. Pride will increase. And then it goes on and says, it's not rude. Love is not rude. That's so important.
Mm.
I mean, you want to stand out today. Just don't be rude. Love somebody.
Hello.
You know, and I just, you know, I had this epiphany, but because I always want to let people know that they've done well or whatever, because give positive feedback. I'm that person that fills the card out at the restaurant or whatever. And the sad thing about it is very few people take the time to say kind things or whatever, but they will say some rude things.
In a minute.
And I was being held back from talking positively about maybe 20, 30 folks because of one particular person that was just all outright rude. And I knew that if I started talking about the 20 or 30 folks in this organization who did such an outstanding job, it would manifest that this surface, this other particular person, that truth would have to be spoken over. So then you would say, well, I would speak the truth in love in this situation, but not in the point of being rude to the particular person. But the other 20 or 30 folks are missing out on all the love in the context of what's going on. And it's like, I'm just determined. It's like, I'm going to get to the folks that are truly walking in love and they're doing their job with excellence. If I can get to them and thank them, I want to thank them. Mm. And there's so many people that are doing such wonderful things in all the different businesses around America and around where the studios are at and just the VFN Dream Center. And we want to let you know, you know, and we just thank you. And a lot of them are sponsors and partners and all that. We appreciate that. But, you know, some are not yet, but they very well might be in the future. But love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. I mean, think about it. It doesn't say, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to love this country, to love America, is to say, you know what? We got to make some tough decisions. And I might not be able to benefit out of any kind of stimulus packages. I might not be able to benefit out of particular funding this way or funding that way. And we may have to go through a time of suffering. But if we truly love our children and our grandchildren, we will not burden them with this debt. We will not create this huge trillions and trillions of dollars worth of debt. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're gone. And they're having to pay off. They're in bondage now. Future generations in bondage, paying off what we refuse to do, which is to love them to the point where we wouldn't be self-seeking.
Mm-hmm.
That we would live our lives in a way that allowed the next generation to survive and have the same freedoms that we had in our lifetime. But love is not self-seeking, which is, you know, a paradigm that we talk about in the comparison of an apostolic center. We talk about it's like we have a real big issue with ourself. You know, and the most, if you really want to get a lot of folks following you in the context, Americans, you just got to talk about self-help and about self-promotion and self-increase and self.
Those are the books that sell, right?
They sell. But you just got to do it. If somebody loves you, they tell you the truth and love in the context of that. But, you know, what is love? He said this. So then as the day gets closer, people will be more worried about themselves, self-preservation. You know, making sure that they're all right and their family's okay or whatever. And it's not easily angered. Love is not easily angered. It doesn't say it's not angered. Mm-hmm. It's just not easily angered. Right. You don't walk around, you know, with a frown all the time. But some people, they call themselves a Christian, they walk around, they just like, their face is so long they could eat like oats from a tailpipe. I mean, just imagine trying to eat the oats from a tailpipe. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? Your face is angry. Do you see in your face? And they put a mirror in front of their face and they smile at themselves. They smile at themselves. It's like, hey, you know, your face was not filled with love until you looked at yourself. Why? Because they're lovers of themselves rather than lovers. It's time for us to understand that what he told us, that the love of most will grow cold, and we want to be able to move in love. We want God to say, I knew you. We want to be fruitful. We want to guard love. We've been talking about love.
Mm.
We're talking about, you know, because this is what we were told. Jesus says that in the last days, the love of most will go cold because of an increase in darkness, lawlessness. Mm. And we're also told by Jesus that it'll be the same as the days of Noah, which was 24/7 lawlessness. And then we're also told by Jesus that we can preach about a kingdom that we won't enter into.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul breaks it down in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about, you know, if you do all this but you don't have love, it's just useless. And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 that you know them by their fruit. You won't know them by what they do. We talked about the who-do aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fruit is love. I mean, that's the big thing, because when you love, just everything comes. You want to see more miracles. You want to see more. Have a little compassion for folks. You know?
Yeah.
You know, they have people that are, that they're really wanting to see miracles because they want to see. They're like X Factor or American Idol type folks. They just want to get. They want a stage, so they can actually be the distributor of healings and miracles, versus this little lady that sees this person who's broken and just heart breaks over this person, and she walks up and begins to lay hands on her and prays for her, mm-hmm. and God just heals that person, bam, mm-hmm. because love, God was present,
right.
You know, and every time you would see Jesus, compassion would move on him, and the power of God would move through him, and God would heal somebody, and it just flows, and compassion is a key component, or love. And so we're finding out, you know, okay, if it's going to grow cold, if in the last days men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of pleasure, we got to keep guard over this. And so, you know, we'll find out what love is. And so we're breaking it down, and we're kind of keeping up with it in regards to, you can listen to the last part of this as we're talking about it and going through the list of it. And after this, we're going to talk about a prophetic dream that I was given, talking about the beast economy as we go into the 11th Alinsky tactic, the dark organizers of the dark versus Jesus, organizer of the day, mm-hmm. and more of that aspect of it. But, you know, he's saying love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps, and this is the one we're at now, it keeps no records of wrongs. Mm. I mean, imagine how much hard drive space that you would have in your computer. How much writer's cramp you would not have if you would just stop writing down everybody's wrongs. I mean, think about it. And I'm just going to give you an example of that. There was this couple, and this couple was really struggling with their, they wanted to be able to have a better marriage. They wanted to be able to have a better marriage. And so they were seeking counseling in the context of that. And light counseling, of course, the Word of God. And as the counseling sessions go on, all of a sudden you find out that the wife begins to say that, well, my husband's always kept a record of my wrongs. And you're thinking, okay, well, you know,
right.
Everybody, you know, we get to get over that kind of stuff that kind of happens. So I said, well, Tracy, a little joke from the Navy Fed. Anyway, because I was just thinking, you know.
Right.
You know. He remembers everything.
Sure.
Right.
He's a melancholy. You know. And
he has a mental notebook.
He has a mental notebook. But then she goes on and explains a little bit. He actually had a physical written manual notebook. And there from the day they got married, every time she did something wrong, he would write it down. I mean, every single thing. So no matter how good she did,
wow,
she knew that book was there. I know you're thinking, John's thinking, like, Teresa would have volumes.
Is that what I'm thinking? That's interesting.
You're right.
Not enough books in the world.
Not thinking that at
all. You're not offended, are you?
No, not thinking that at all. Right. I'm just thinking somebody will go to that type of length to write something.
Oh, I'm not through yet. I'm not through yet.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm keeping a steady face. I'm thinking, my heart's just breaking. I'm thinking, how do you come out of this? Yes. Because there is no love there mm-hmm. at all. If somebody's writing down, I mean, it's already difficult. They're remembering everything, can't get over it. But the fact is that they're writing every single thing down. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's like all of a sudden something happens and you see them walk over and pick up a book. You're like, number 3,600. Could you imagine? I just go there for a moment, you know, and say, Lord, I know you're going to forgive me for this, but I'm about to whip that boy with that journal. I give you something to write in your journal. Yeah.
Write this one.
It's like, it's so blinding because he has no idea, or she has no idea, or whoever's doing this has no idea that, you know, ever how you treat others, how you're going to be treated. So everything that you've ever done is being written on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you.
That's right.
And so I'm thinking, wow, and this is major, and I'm never going to counsel again. No, I'm going to just preach the gospel. And so then it gets worse.
Worse?
Yeah, it gets worse.
Wow.
It gets worse that he runs out of manuals. He runs out of written manuals. So it becomes a digital database.
Oh my God.
So Now, she had all of her perceived wrongs written in a manual.
Mm.
And then she had all of, and then a database. That's serious stuff. That's what, you know, Google Jez is doing today, man, yeah. Keeping that database on everybody. And deep, just a deep, I guess there'd be a deep Jay-Z spirit that would kind of get a hold of this man, I guess. And how could you ever get free from that? Because love does not keep records of wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And the most freeing thing that you can do is let people go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, dear God, you know, I mean, this is a marriage, so, you know, this is going to be difficult. I mean, it's difficult with the whole mental notes, but, you know. And so I said, okay, I want you to do. I want you to come in. I want you to bring all of your library of books and journals and all the data on disk and just bring it to the next meeting and erase it off of the computers and all that and just keep it on that aspect of it. And so he has a big truck, boop, 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 backing up and the forklifts, dollies, and everything. No, it was just, it doesn't take much. And so we come in, we're talking about, you know, okay, and this is the next step then. You're gonna have to forgive her and you're gonna have to let her go.
Mm.
And it was like the he had this sense of I own her because I hold this against her. But the truth is she owns you. You were owned by your own unforgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, when you say somebody owes you something, you say it like this, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, and you can keep on saying, you own me, you own me, you own me. When you refuse to forgive somebody, you're held by that unforgiveness yourself, and now you are unforgiven. And you live a life of torment and torture, and that's what was going on in his life. And so, I said, so what we're going to do is, I'm going to take this garbage can, and we're going to take it outside, and you're going to put it all in this can, and we're going to burn it before God as a sign. You're going to burn it before God, and you're going to just let her go. And it was just contorted. I mean, he had so much demonic activity repressing him that it was just like, no, and it wasn't like that, but it was like, we've seen some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what this is not like that. But you can see the pushing and the pressure, and it's like, these records of wrong, these records of wrong. And that's what America's going to have to do. You know, we're going to have to acknowledge and repent and forgive and move on. But you first got to have the conversation and move on. And so he finally does it. He finally gets to the point, but it was very difficult. It was very difficult. And puts it in there, and he's the one who's going to have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for him, and because it would have done no good if somebody else would have done it. And I soak it down with all kinds of flammable whatever it was, and just give him a pack of matches.
Mm.
And he just, tears was coming down his face. I mean, like her, you know, it was just like, wow, you see yourself as the victim in this, but you're the one holding her. And holding unforgiveness towards people, if you are keeping records of wrongs, look at you. Just go look at your body. You were tormented. You were tortured. And that's what's going to happen to you until the day that you forgive in your heart. Move on and realize he was so caught up, he could not see that he had his own issues in his own life. And so he throws the match on this thing, and this big black smoke comes out of this thing, and it literally a demonic face, this just roaring smoke comes out, and it wasn't, you know, and it just looks like a face, like a demonic face was in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, my goodness, and you should have seen this woman get free.
Mm.
I mean, she just got so free.
Wow.
It was amazing to watch her. She just, like, this freedom came over her. You know why? Because for the first time, she felt loved in that relationship. Why? Because love keeps no records of wrongs. If you are tormented and tortured because you think you got someone on someone, you're being destroyed by it. If anyone has anything on anybody, it's God on you.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he says, listen, if you don't forgive, he says, this is how God will treat you. He will turn you over to the tormentor to be tortured and tormented to the day that you forgive and forgive in your heart. This is how God will do this. This is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So much for all these doctors being priests today.
Mm-hmm.
And so love keeps no records of wrong. So what's going to happen is, and we're seeing it right now today, that then a lot of record keeping will be kept as time gets closer to the end. When the love of most grows cold, realize you're going to have, and I will talk about that in the beginning as I begin to share about this next particular dart tactic from the Alinsky models, is it's all about record keeping. It's all about keeping data, you know, Google.jazz in the context of keeping all this data on folks. Mm-hmm. And it is a beast economy. It's all about data and collection, that type of thing. And some things that God shared with me, and prophetically, I'll share that. But so love keeps no records of wrongs, which means this, despite what that person did to you, let them go. Mm-hmm. They owe you nothing. Think about it. They mm-hmm. owe you nothing. And you're freeing yourself up. And by the way, they can never get free of what you won't forgive them of. So if you don't forgive them, they cannot get free from it. Mm-hmm. And he says, if you won't forgive them, then I won't forgive them. But if you'll forgive them, I'll forgive them. It's so not as relevant to the point you thought it was. mm. So love keeps no records of wrongs. Then he says in verse 6, love does not delight in evil. That's so important because I'm naive. I'm always shocked. You know, but as a Christian police officers, we should not be calling people dirtbags. Mm. Period.
That's right.
You know, because people have constitutional rights. You know, we're not judge and jury. And so, you know, we should actually be thinking about how we're talking about the citizens of America and then allow the judge to be able to take them and a jury of their peers to be able to try them. And then whatever happens and whatever correction needs to take place in their life, they're still human beings, still loved by God. And so we have to understand that we don't want to talk like that about folks. But also the people just, the haters in regards to the political haters that are out there, just the venom that's coming out. And then bad things happen to folks, and people are like, this is great. They deserve that. It's like, really?
Right.
Did you bring my name up when you were with them?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's because you don't want bad things to happen to people. God loves folks. He loves folks, mm-hmm. and he forgives folks. And we have to share truth. Yeah, we do talk about truth, but it's in love.
Right.
Speak the truth in love in hopes that people would hear from God and gently hear from God in regards to grant them repentance in the context of that. That's the reason why. And it's not about hating on folks because love does not delight in evil. We don't want evil things to happen to anyone. And we don't rejoice in any of that. And everybody deserves, you know, outside of Jesus Christ, we all deserve the worst, but we get the best when we accept Jesus only because of Jesus, not because of our own works.
That's right.
The Word of God lets us know, and Jesus let us know that the love of most will go cold. So we're finding out that, that you know, record keeping will increase and celebrating when evil things happen to people will increase. But also, the next thing he tells us here, but love rejoices with the truth. So there's folks today that say that they love, but they say, will you quit telling me what God says? Will you quit telling me what the light perspective of this thing is? Preach, teach, teach, preach, teach, preach, preach. It's like, well, no, love rejoices in the truth. And the truth is, you know, outside of God, that all men have fallen short of the glory of God, and all of our righteousnesses, our righteous works are like filthy rags before God. And so we all need God. We all need God. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, you can build on the truth and saying, okay, I'm going to give my life to God. And then God says, no, you have to be my disciple, you know, to be able to follow him, to be set free. Because truly, if we know and follow his teachings, then we are his disciples. So the truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. The word is Jesus. Jesus is the word. And so we rejoice in the truth. We want to know what the truth is. And so we're not okay when we don't rejoice when people are lying. Hmm. We're brokenhearted and like, oh my goodness, they're lying. And people are like, lie to me more. And it's like, really? As Christians, we don't want to be lied to. You know, we want to be able to hear the truth, but also we want to be truth bearers. And we want to be able, by God's grace, to be truthful in the whole situation. And when you look, not only did the loveless not enter into the kingdom of God, but he says that liars don't even enter into the kingdom of God. You think about that. And that's something else. And the reason why that a person who doesn't move in love and doesn't love doesn't rejoice in the truth. And so they're moving in a lie. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
That's the reason why it's like, oh, I got to keep from telling lies. No, you just need to love. And when you love them, you won't lie to them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's all rooted and founded in loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Because if you'll do this, all the laws of the prophet are tied. Prophets are tied up on this. Hang on these one few words, and so that it rejoices in the truth, and then it always perseveres. You think about it. I mean, it always protects. I mean, so then love is a protective action. It's a kinetic thing. And so you want to be able to protect your loving. The love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. Love is a protective thing. And so when you see somebody that's an injustice taking place and you do nothing, mm-hmm. then you're not loving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's amazing how so many people are quick to run to protect in a physical way. It's like, no, don't worry about your life. That's easy to give. Give of yourself, protect in a way that involves you losing something inwardly, you know, your reputation or something like that.
Yeah.
It's easier to give your life than it is to lay the other part down.
Right.
It's easier to die for God than it is to live for Him.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you have to die to yourself.
That's right.
And we found out that if somebody runs and dies for God by throwing themselves into the fire, but they didn't have love, you know what I'm saying? They went from the fire to the fire, right? It's like, Jiminy.
Wasted sacrifice.
That's a wasted sacrifice. Mm. Eternal fire. Mm. And so. So love always protects. So you have this protect. If you're always trying to, you're careful with your words, and you know and I've always tried to do this to you know, in raising my children and speaking to my family, I'll go back and explain things, and try to help give an understanding in hopes that I wasn't misunderstood, because I want to protect them in the context of that. Sure. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when parents explain things, it's like, okay, well, you know. But later on in life, they go, "I'm so glad you explained things."
You're gonna need this.
Yeah. And so, you know, and so love always protects, and then love always trusts.
Mm.
You think about it. So if you say you love someone, then you trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that means, but if you have been not been trustworthy, you're going to need to build that love back. You have to build that trust back in their life, and but they're willing to trust again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're willing to they're willing to love again, in the context of that. And you can love someone, and trust them to the extent that they can be trusted, but you all of a sudden you don't give the chickens to the fox. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
In the context of that, but you got to be willing to love again. And try again, because you know love always trusts. And there's no trust if you don't trust your husband, you don't love your husband.
Mm.
If you don't trust your wife, you don't love your wife.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if you live an untrustworthy life before your husband, before your wife, then hey, help them out a little bit. You know, give them some groundwork, because if you say you love God, you should be living a trustworthy life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we make mistakes and all, but the majority of your life, it should be a bump in the road, not some long history lesson about living an untrustworthy life. And so love always trusts. And so we think, man, I don't trust anybody. What you're really saying is, I don't love anybody.
Mm.
All I can trust is myself. What you're saying is, all I love is myself.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do is protect yourself, your things, and your reputation and all that, and saying, you know what, this is not about me. You know, and we'll talk more about that in the next segment, but we're called to lay down our lives. That's what love is. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life, his reputation, for his friend. And Jesus set the example. And love always hopes. You know, hope is a desire with expectation of attaining that which you desire. Begin to speak hopeful things. If you love folks and people and America, it might begin to just paint the picture of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, like how Dr. Ben Carson, you know, speaks a word of hope,
right?
Mm-hmm. In his book America the Beautiful. And and if we speak hateful things about America, we don't love America. If we speak doubt and unbelief and no hope and all,
you'll have
like,
what you say.
Hey, you're not loving America here.
That's right.
You know, in the context of that. And then he says, love perseveres. Love always perseveres. It's something just, it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't persevere in some folks' life when he says the love of most will grow cold. And so we have to say, keep guard over this. We have to keep guard over our love. How am I loving? And one way to do that is to stay in an abiding relationship with love himself. the reason why, I mean, if Jesus met with the Father every single morning, early in the morning, to be able to spend time with him to get his direction and instruction for the day, I mean, don't you think we have to do the very same thing? And he will remind us, love himself will remind us how to respond that day to things. And but apart from abiding with the Lord, he says you can do nothing. So I encourage you, first of all, if you've already made Jesus the Lord of your life, begin to abide with the Lord of your life. And you can find out more how to abide. We have a free plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. Request your free plan today so you can begin to abide with love so you won't be left at the altar, you know, saying, hearing the words, I never knew you, you know, because love is how you know God. When you begin to love folks and go through those sufferings of loving. And then finally, he says, love never fails. If you've been worried about failure, you've been worried about things not succeeding, move into love because love never fails. And see, the fear factor was coming in because you're worried about fear of loss, you know, fear of not getting a gain, you know, fear of your stuff and things and, you know, your sphere. The truth is, but when you lay that all down and you're moving in love, there's no fear anymore. I mean, so you're just like, I can love. But you cannot fear and love at the same time. They're like bipolar opposites. And so love covers a multitude of sins. Fear actually reveals a multitude of sins because they're trying to undo you. They're trying to take you down in the context of that because they fear you in the context of that. So the question is, you know, what is love? Do you have love? Is it important? Since it's in the last day, one of the measurements of society is going to be where we are in the context of love. And so great wickedness is going to increase. Darkness is going to increase. All these things, the opposites of these things are going to be taking place then. If the love of most will grow cold, that means, then he says right here that love is patience. There's going to be very little patience in the last days. When he says love is kind, there's going to be very little kindness in the last days. When love doesn't envy, there's going to be a ton of envy in the last days. When he says that love doesn't boast, there's going to be a lot of boasting in the last days. When it says love is not proud, it's going to be a lot of pride in the last days. When he says that love is not rude, there's going to be a lot of rudeness in the last days. When he says that love is not self-seeking, it's going to be all about self-seeking in the last days. When he says love is not easily angered, there's going to be a lot of ticked off people walking all over the face of this earth in the last days. When he says love keeps no records of wrongs, it means there's going to be a lot of records of wrongs being kept. When he says love does not delight in evil, there's going to be a lot of delight and a lot of evil taking place in those days. When he says love rejoices in the truth, there'll be a lot of people who hate the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. There'll be venomous things said against those who bring the truth. And when he says love always protects, there'll be very little protection in the last days. When he said love always trusts, there'll be very little trust in the last days. And he says when love always hopes, there'll be very little hope in the last days. And he says when love perseveres, he'll say that's like saying there's very little perseverance in the last days, and there'll be a lot of people falling away from the faith because he says love never fails. So there'll be a lot of failure if you leave love in the last days. Let's just go after love with everything in our heart. Let's go after God. Let's make love the synergy of our life, loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.